Blog Talk Radio.
Excited and happy to spend this next 30 minutes with you, helping you to transform your life, accomplish your goals, and to just move to a higher level of awareness. We love to bring you the very best guests out there, and we have a fantastic guest on tap today. But before we get to that, I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you to everyone who attended the Lives, Love, and Life workshop last Saturday in Indianapolis, Indiana. We kicked off the tour because this is going to be a tour, my latest book, Lives, Love, and Life. We kicked it off last Saturday, and it was amazing. The attendees really got into it, and you were really committed, and I congratulate you for making that first step, that first effort toward your life transformation. So congrats to you. And stay tuned, stay in touch, check out my website for upcoming cities and other tours that we're going to have in our Lives, Love, and Life workshop path. Now, getting to the guest, wow, we have a great guest this evening, Chaney. I'm not going to try to pronounce Chaney's last name because I don't want to mispronounce it, but I will spell it. It's W-E-I-N-E-R. So I'm not sure if that's Weiner or Wiener. So I will let him give me the correct pronunciation when he comes on the line. But he is highly sought after, and he's an authority on human potential and personal development. He is the founder of the Chaney Institute of Human Potential, an organization dedicated to empowering people worldwide in all seven areas of life: financial, physical, family, mental, spiritual, vocational, and social, by helping them discover their hidden brilliance and uniqueness based on what is most important to them. He's also a facilitator of the DeMartini, hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, method, which was developed by Dr. John DeMartini. His signature Breakthrough to Achievement program, and that's the title of it, Breakthrough to Achievement program, along with his various courses and programs, are the combination of more than 23 years of multidisciplinary study. And he is approached by the media, and tons of different media sources have approached him. Montel Williams, he's been approached by the Martha Stewart Living Radio, Hay House Radio, hundreds of radio shows throughout the world. And we are so very fortunate to have him here today on Living by Design. So I am going to welcome Chaney to the show. Welcome to the show, Chaney. How are you today?
I'm doing great. It's great to be back. And go with your first choice because it's Weiner.
Is it? Okay.
Yes, it
Thank
is.
You so much. I was not sure if it was either one. I was going to say Weiner, but, you know, hey.
Go with the first choice.
I want to be correct.
And I also want to congratulate you on your book and your tour. I want to get that in.
Awesome. Yes, thank you. I'm very, very excited. Well, you know how it is. You know, when you have this passion and then you see people that are really excited about it and they're actually making the changes and they're getting passionate about it, it just really does set off that domino effect. So, yes, I'm very, very happy. Thank you.
Yeah,
and I'm also very excited to have you with me tonight here on Living by Design. You are just, wow, you're just a man on a mission.
Yeah, that's the key word is mission, because everyone has a mission. And, in fact, you're on a mission. You have your tour. You have your book. And along with that are the very interesting turns, twists, things that you think will go a certain way, but then they don't go a certain way. But when they don't go that certain way, they actually turn out better than you thought that they would have to begin with. So it's just You know, it's interesting because I was just writing today about self-confidence for an article I'm putting on my site, and I was talking about this whole idea of the unknown. And really, many people are afraid of that, but really when you learn how to embrace that and you go, wow, you know, there's some things that actually happen that you don't expect and they turn out to be really the way that you want them to turn out after all, it really makes it fun. So I like to tell people instead of having that fear. It's a lot easier. I know it's a lot easier to say it than it is to do it, but when, like in your situation, you the book, the tour, and I'm sure you can relate to that in many different ways.
Absolutely, and I talked a lot about that during the workshop, how I stepped out on faith because I just was not feeling the love, I wasn't feeling the passion, I wasn't feeling the motivation. I have no desire, or I had no desire, and I still don't, to just wake up every morning and feel blah. I want to wake up and just be ready to jump out of bed, anxious and just excited about my life.
Yeah, because
and people that just settle for mediocrity, they're really missing out. They're missing out. Chaney, let me put your website. What's your website? I want to put that in the chat room before we get started here.
It's www.chaneyweiner.com, ChaneyWeiner.com.
Perfect. Okay, excellent. There you have it. And, yes, so I totally understand, and I know this. I'm really anxious to hear more about your breakthrough to your genius. I absolutely love that title. I love that title because I want you to talk about that because you're right. We hear people say they're not a genius. I hate it when I hear that. And I know you disagree. You disagree because you say everyone is a genius, and I agree with you. I totally agree with you. I believe that everyone has a genius inside them. I believe everyone has just unlimited brilliant potential. So talk about that, please.
Well, you know, I'm going to actually take this a step further because, everybody is a genius, and at the same time, every person is not a genius, and I'm going to explain that. People, and this goes for every person is a genius in the things that are most important to them, something that they're really good at, while at the same time, something that someone is not good at or great at, they're not going to be a genius in that area. As an example, with me, when it comes to doing this interview, the programs I teach, communicating and being around people, I perceive myself, and not only that, but other people see me as being a genius in that area. Now, when it comes to me doing computer tech work and things along that line, maybe fixing cars, working on cars, I'm not so good in that. So, yeah, I mean, by my own admission, I'll say I'm not a genius in those areas. So what it really comes down to is something that you really love doing, something that you're really good at, no matter what that is. It could be the most, I like to give this example, it could be knitting and crocheting. If you're really good at that and you, if people even knit anymore and they make all these nice clothing and all these nice outfits and stuff and you're really good at that, well, that's your genius. And just because someone else says it's not doesn't mean that, you know, it doesn't mean that you're not a genius. It's just for you, you're a genius in that area. For someone else, it's going to be in a different area. So we all have a genius, and we all have those areas of life where we're really not the genius. But no matter how you look at it, every person has something that they love to do and that they're really good at. It's just a matter of finding out what that is and then going about doing that and making that your mission in life.
And, you know, you are absolutely correct, and I'm going to give you a perfect example because you're going to say, when you hear me say this, you're going to be like, oh, my goodness. And this totally confirms everything that you just said. I am not good at domestic work. Anything around the house, cleaning, doing laundry, cooking, I am not good at it. But I can stand in front of an audience of millions of people, and I can absolutely do a phenomenal job. Now, that is the world's number one fear, is public speaking. I can do that, but I can't cook. Guess what, Chaney? I don't like cooking.
You know, it's interesting that you bring up about being in front of the people, and I heard this, I forgot where I heard this, but Michael Jackson, he felt more comfortable I mean, I'm sure there were a bunch of reasons for this, but he felt more comfortable when he was on stage performing. He felt more at ease than he was when he was off stage.
Yes, I believe that. I believe that. Because I know people listening to this radio show right now are thinking, how can you not be good at cooking? It's so easy. Well, because I don't like it. And that's why I said everything you just said is absolutely true, because I do not like cooking. I do not like domestic work. That's why I'm not good at it. But
yeah,
I love speaking, and I love making an impact on the lives of others, and that's why I'm good at that.
Yeah, and, you know, something else that's tied in with that. Now, what I'm about to say are not my opinions, but there's still that public perception out there, and that is, well, you're a woman, and you're not good at cooking, but you're good at public speaking. That sounds like something that would fit a man. And
exactly.
This really goes back to what we're saying here, and that is, and here's the key, each person, man, woman, child, is unique. And they're going to be a genius, and they're going to excel in certain areas, and it's independent of sex, age, and things along that line. So, again, it's a matter of finding out what that is for you, what you're good at, and most importantly, along with that, not be concerned about what other people are going to say, because people are going to like you and dislike you. They're going to support you and challenge you no matter what you do. So you may as well be true to yourself, do what you love, because you're going to get all that stuff anyway.
That is so true. Now we both know, Chaney, we both know that fear plays a significant role in this process. And I tell you, if I have heard, that's what my book is about, self-lies. When you get caught up in telling yourself and convincing yourself, oh, it's not going to work. Oh, I'm not going to succeed. Oh, it didn't work the first time, so it's not going to work this time. That fear factor is massive. And we know that's one of the main things that holds people back, because people would rather stay in a painful, unhappy, unfulfilling situation because it's comfortable and it's familiar than to venture out because of fear of the unknown. I mean, no risk, no reward, but they would rather just not venture into this place of fear as they perceive it and just stay miserable. So can you talk a little bit about the fear of thinking they're not going to succeed, or they're not educated enough, or they're not smart enough, or whatever their issue is? How can they gain that clarity and just get beyond that toxic thought?
Well, the first thing I like to say about fear is that fear stands for feeling empowered and ready. I like to use that as a tagline.
Ooh, I like that. Say that again. Feeling empowered and ready.
Yeah, there's other variations of that, but I like to use feeling empowered and ready, and of course, if anyone
knows. I have one, Chaney. I have one. It's totally on the opposite end. Failure expected and received.
Ooh, I never heard. That's a new one for me.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But it works. But it works both ways.
It sure does. It's the total opposite on both ends, and I hit it from the perspective of you're so afraid that if you expect to fail, you will. And that's how I hit it. But you hit it. I like the way you said it, because you're hitting it from the positive aspect of it.
Yeah, and when it comes, there's a couple of ways to look at this. When it comes to having a fear of not being smart enough, educated enough, or let me take a step back. Many times people will think, well, they're not a genius, and they can't do whatever it is that they would love to do because they feel they're not smart enough or educated enough, they don't have a degree, and that type of thing. And in certain situations, I can see that. For example, if someone wants to be a doctor, a lawyer, perhaps an accountant, there's certain processes that people, that there's certain requirements to go through, and that's understandable. So if, let's say, someone's not in medical school yet, I could kind of see where they're coming from. But outside of those types of situations, being smart enough, not educated enough, really doesn't come into play. But yet there's this fear that, oh, my God, I've got to get that degree, I've got to get more education. And one thing I like to say, I don't know who I heard this from. I've heard it from numerous people. They say, don't let school get in the way of your education. Because the bottom line is, and I'm sure you can relate to what I'm about to say now, you learn best what you teach most.
Oh, I like that.
So, therefore, again, it goes back to what we were saying a few minutes ago. Take the time, find out what it is that you really love to do, whatever it is, and get in the habit of talking to people about it. Perhaps you can even talk to an imaginary audience. I know people do that. You can You can talk to a friend. But just think about it. You're always teaching and talking and speaking to someone about something that you really love to do. It's just a question of, are you worried or have the fear that, oh, my God, well, what is this person going to say? What is that person going to say? It goes back to what we were also saying before, and that is, no matter what you do in life, there's people who are going to like it and dislike it, and there's people who are going to agree and disagree with you. And really, one thing that I'm finding about, and I'm certain of this because I've gone through this at various points in my life, I see it with other people in terms of the fear and the unknown. It goes back, or it's in line with what we're saying here. Many times people will look to for that one side in life. They'll always want the quote-unquote positive. And notice how I said they're always the positive. More people supporting, more people being nice, more of, let's say, the positive stuff. But guess what? The way life works is we get both sides at different points in time. And I'm not telling people to go out and be negative or look for challenge all the time. But what I am saying is just understand that along the way, on your path, on your journey, you're going to get both sides. And when you realize that and you can see how those things that are not going your way and the people who challenge you and the people who maybe are criticizing you, how that serves you in your life and on your mission, and you do that up front and you prepare for that in advance, a lot of that fear can be taken or can be dissolved and not even come about. In fact, this goes back to the whole false evidence appearing real thing. And when you see that, hey, you know, it's just that, it's false evidence. And when you can see both sides of it and say, hey, you know, even the things that may not go my way, they're going to help me so I can help others. I'm not going to say 100% of the fear will go away, because we're always going to have fear to some degree, but some of those fears that may be like these silly kind of fears that after you do the thing, you go, well, what was I afraid of after all? You won't have a lot of that, because it's those little things that accumulate over time, those little fears that really turn into the big, oh, my God, how am I going to handle this? And then you get anxious. And, you know, one other thing I want to say about this is that you mentioned about public speaking. And you're absolutely correct. If it's not number one on the list, it's number two. I know it's ahead. People fear that more than they do death. And
that's
it goes
correct.
Back to what we were saying here. It's very interesting.
Yes, they do fear it more than death. And I want to back up here something you said about don't allow your education to get in the way of your learning. I absolutely love that, because I know a lot of people think that, okay, I go back and get my master's or my doctorate or whatever the case may be. But I like what you said about be involved in something you're passionate about and teach it. Teach what you like and also research it. If it's something that you really, really love, there's lifelong learning. I mean, that's a portion of learning. It doesn't always have to be higher education as far as getting your master's or your bachelor's or whatever. And I'm not discouraging anyone from doing that, but I'm just saying don't allow that to discourage you, because there's tons of ways you can learn. I always studied the people that I really admired when I first started out. I studied the people I admired. That's how I did my learning. And I wanted to understand how they delivered their message. Then, of course, I designed my own style. I didn't want to copy anyone, because no one can do me like me, and no one can do Oprah like Oprah, and no one can do Cheney like Cheney. But I did study other people. I listened to a lot of audio. I looked at a lot of video. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's called lifelong learning. So we have to always be constantly open to learning and researching whatever it is our area of desire or whatever we're passionate about. Don't be afraid to jump out there and learn more about it, so that when you do have an opportunity to get up and talk and teach about it, then you'll have a lot more information and it will just give you that much more confidence.
Absolutely, and I want to piggyback on what you said, and I'm going to just pick one thing out of there, because I could go for at least an hour or two on everything that you just mentioned there. But the one thing in particular you said was about studying the audio, the video. I don't know if you said reading in there, but you can throw reading in there. But it really doesn't matter. It's still a different form of learning. And here's something that's really amazing. I actually heard this from John DeMartini, but even before I heard it from him, I was doing this, but I really fully wasn't aware of it. If you read 30, I'm just going to throw some numbers in here, but it'll make sense. if you read 30 minutes a day, and this can include the watching video, now we have the internet, you can listen to audio, we'll just say audio, video, and reading 30 minutes a day on a specific field of study, something that you would really love to do, and that's the key, that you love to do it and you would love to master it, you'd be at the cutting edge of that field in about 7 years. Now, if you did that for 60 minutes a day, it would take you about 3 to 4 years. Let's say 3.5, 4 years. If you spend 2 hours a day reading, researching, or let's say reading video, audio, it would take you between 2.5 to 3 years. And if you did it for 3 hours a day, it would take you about 1.5 to 2 years to be at the cutting edge in that field. And I find that to be rather fascinating, and I've actually applied this into my life, and I could tell you right now that is accurate, and it's pretty amazing. You know, something else I did along this line, without getting too crazy into numbers, I looked at someone who goes to college, who gets a four-year degree in college, and I actually took what I just mentioned, and I said, and I looked at it from the standpoint of if someone treated that as a work day. So in other words, if they spent 6, 7, 8 hours a day doing what I just said, and you compare that to a college degree, it would take a person about 8 to 9 months to get that four-year degree that it would normally take 4 years, because in college, classes are usually 3 hours a week, twice a week, or three times a week. Those people who went to college know exactly what I'm talking about. But my point is that when you take the time and invest, and I don't mean money, just investing time in doing something you love, research, reading, audio, video, even having a mentor, a coach, that you can really speed up that learning curve. And I'm bringing this up because, again, don't let school get in the way of your education. And like you said, I have no problem with school, I have a college degree and all that, but what about the people who are listening to the show who don't? And maybe beating themselves up, thinking, oh, my God, I need a degree. I've got to go back to school. Well, here's something that you can do with the internet. You can get an unlimited amount of information and just take it to the next level in whatever it is that you would love to be doing.
Well, I mean, and we can even name some names of very successful, influential people who only have a high school education. So, I mean, we know there are people. I know Ted Turner comes to mind. I mean, and he's a genius. And he's very passionate about what he's done, and he has built a multi-million-dollar empire as a result of it. So, and we're not trying to discourage higher education. That is not what we're talking about here. We're just saying that we don't want to discourage the ones who don't have higher education, because the most critical aspect of this point that we're making here is that your desire, your commitment, your passion is powerful. That's where your genius lies. It's inside of that passion. So if you can focus on that, because perfect example for me, I went to college. I had a degree in computer science. My parents wanted me to go down the technology path, and I worked for IBM. I did not like it. I was good at it only because I tried really, really hard, and I was good in math, but I did not like it. And so that's why I walked away from it. College degree didn't mean anything. I walked away from that, and then I started pursuing this because it's always been my hobby. It's always been something I was doing on the side to really build me up, because the corporate life just wasn't for me. And when I started focusing more on this, that's when my life just took off. That's when everything, my career and everything, just took off. So it wasn't about going back to school and doing all these things and all these things. It was about focusing on my passion and my genius, which lied inside that. So I totally agree. I think when you want something really, 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 you have to know what you want first and your why. Your why is just as important as your what. Why do you want it? And I wanted what I wanted because I knew what I had gone through in my childhood, and I wanted to make a difference in the lives of others so that they didn't have to go through those same struggles and issues. And I wish I had had a mentor, a coach, or someone like me when I was younger to help me get through the rough spots in life. So I totally agree with all of that. And I want to just ask you one really, really big question, because I know we don't have nearly enough time because you're just so brilliant in your area of expertise. What are some of the blind spots? Because we all know that sometimes we can get sidetracked by those blind spots. What are some of the blind spots that people can be aware of, overcome, when it comes to realizing your genius? Because we all want to do that, but we do get stuck. We do hit those blind spots. So when that happens, what can they do to get beyond that?
You know, amazing as it sounds, the answer to that is minimizing yourself to someone else and not even being aware of this. And this is exactly what happened to me in one specific area, and it was in marketing, no less, and business. Because what I was doing is I was looking to hire people to help me in certain areas of my business that I didn't think that I could do, and I just felt, well, these people have something that I didn't. And in essence, how I figured this out was I would get people to do things for me. I would pay them. They wouldn't do the work. They weren't answering my email. So in essence, they got money from me and didn't do all the work, and just things along that line, until I finally, while lying in bed one day, I just got the revelation that, you know what? I'm going to take this on by myself. And the interesting thing is I did. And those very things that I hired other people to do for me that I didn't think I could do have actually turned out to be some of my strengths that are actually strengthening as we speak. So here's someone like me who does this, and there was just one area, that blind spot, that I quite didn't see. And then I got the feedback in the form of, you know, people are not doing what I'm paying them for, and it got me to wake up and realize, wow. And ever since that happened, I figured that out. Now, that's what it is for me, but many people do have that blind spot of they think someone else has something else or can do something that they don't. And here's something I want everybody to get out of. If everyone listening doesn't get anything out of this, what we got today, get this. Anything you say about someone else, you're saying about yourself. If you're saying that someone else is beautiful, they're great at what they do, they're a genius, the only way you could be saying that about someone else is if you're saying it about yourself. The question is, where is your genius? You may see someone else being a great dancer, a great speaker. Well, that forms of communication. Well, where do you have forms of communication that are on a genius level? It may not be dancing or speaking. It could be somewhere else. So keep that in mind. Anytime you are praising someone else, I mean, it goes the other way. If you criticize someone else, you criticize yourself too. It goes both ways, and we have both sides. But particularly from the genius end of it, if you see someone else and you're saying, wow, they're doing a great job, they're beautiful, they're this, you're saying that about yourself. Just look to see where in your life that is. And it may be the same as what you're saying, as theirs is, but it may not. And that's the key. Look for it in your own life, and I guarantee you will find it every time.
Absolutely love it. Chaney, we're coming up on the last 60 seconds of the show, and this has just been amazing, a phenomenal interview, and I would love to have you back on the show again, because there's so much more that I want to talk about on this topic, because it's we've got a ton of people in queue, probably wanting to wait to ask a question, but unfortunately, with the conversation is just going so quickly, which I knew it would, but, you know, I definitely want to have you back. So just take us out with the most powerful words of encouragement within the next 15 seconds or less.
Just know that when you go through life, there's going to be both sides, support and challenge, pleasure and pain, nice people, mean people, kind people, cruel people. When you're able to embrace both sides and see how they serve you on your mission, you are well on your way to not only realizing your genius, but living your mission and living a magnificent and extraordinary life.
Awesome. Absolutely phenomenal. Thank you so much, Chaney. We really appreciate you. You have given a great, great opportunity for people to have food for thought. And please visit Chaney's website, www.chaneywiener.com, chaneywiener.com. And we are going to sign off for now. I'm Kathy Holloway Hill, and I will see you same time next week here on the Living by Design Show. Good night, everyone.